Let's all stand tonight for the reading of the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read one verse there this evening, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. We'll read this together. Amen. Does everyone have your Bibles out, standing for the Word of God? If you're able to tonight, say amen if you found that scripture this evening.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, read with me, the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You may be seated.
Amen. We're going to continue in our study of music tonight. Tonight's message is titled, Music, the Good, the Bad, and the Gray. The Good, the Bad, and the Gray. And we just read a moment ago in Ephesians 5:19. Just a reminder that music speaks. Music speaks to us. Music is powerful. I believe it was last week, that when an evil spirit from the Lord came upon Saul and David would play spiritual music with the harp, that the evil spirit would leave. And music is powerful enough, good music, godly music, is powerful enough to chase away demons. Let me say the opposite is also true. Bad music is powerful enough to draw demons. Right? If good music repulses demons, what does bad music do?
Calls them in.
We're going to begin by looking at bad music tonight first. And when I say bad music, I'm referring to music that is clearly influenced by Satan himself and isn't godly for the children of God to listen to or allow its influence in their hearts. There are three ways to decipher music that will help every person decide whether or not the music is appropriate to accept and listen to. Okay? The music itself, the beat, the rhythm, the melody, the harmony, the men who sing the music, okay, their reputation. Would you be embarrassed to have them sing on our church platform? A musician does not need to be a Christian to be acceptable to listen to, but they would need to have a good reputation. Their appearance, are they modestly dressed? Do they look like the world? What kind of things have they said? What are some of the quotes that they've said? What's their testimony, their reputation? What they say? Do they curse? The third is the message of the music. What is the music singing about? About the spiritual things of God in heaven? About everyday life? Or about the lust of the flesh? All music has a message. When choosing what kind of music to listen to, if it passes this simple test, then you know it's okay to listen to. The test is, do all three areas glorify God? Or at least, do all three areas not cause harm to the cause of Christ? Okay? I don't know that old MacDonald had a farm glorifies God, but it certainly doesn't cause harm. Right? So the music, the men, and the message, the three M's. If you want to look at music, put it to the 3M test. The music, the men, and the message. For example, if the music is good, Amazing Grace, and the message is good, Amazing Grace, but the men who sing it are of a bad or of questionable reputation, AC/DC, it would not pass the test. Second, if the music is good, the tune to Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, but the message is bad, they substitute words that promotes sin, sung to the tune of Amazing Grace, but the man who sings it is good, like a Nathan Himmelreich, I'm trying to get into the men's group, it would not pass the test. Good man, good music. Wrong message. 3, if the music was bad, a rock and roll soundtrack, but the message was good, Amazing Grace, and the men who sing it were good, Brother Mike Kreiner, watch out for him, it would not pass the test. There's one principle that you must not forget when looking at music, and that is this. God does not imitate Satan's music to get across his message.
That's right. Amen.
God does not imitate Satan's music to get across his message. God's the original, Satan's the imitator. Let's take a brief overview of some music genres of music that are bad, as in it would not pass the test of the three M's, the music, the method, and the men singing it. Let me pause for a minute just to point out why knowing the men who sing it are important. We're going to get into this in some weeks ahead as well. But we live in a day of something called YouTube and Google. And so, if there's a song that you sing or allow your kids to listen to, and they were to look it up on Google or YouTube, and the person that's singing it is not a good reputation, when you promote that song and that person singing it, what you're really doing without realizing it is you're putting your stamp of approval on the man singing it too.
Yep.
And so when your child YouTubes it because they like the song, and that the first person that comes up is usually the person who it originated with, and they're being like, oh, well, if we can listen to that song from this guy, then maybe I can listen to this song from this guy. But maybe not all the songs that guy wrote are good. Do you see the danger? Okay? You would not want to have a CD of hymns sung by Alabama, the country music group, in your car. Because what you're doing is telling your child Alabama's okay. The only reason why Alabama sings hymns is to make more money. It's not because they live what those hymns say. Help me.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. Oh, got quiet in here. Maybe someone has an Alabama music. All right, burn it, brother. There might be a good song with good lyrics, but the men who sing it do not have a good reputation. And the danger is, if you put your stamp of approval on that song, that the young people will take it as a stamp of approval on the men singing it and will listen to other songs that person sings as well. Listen to this statement. Your children rarely have a higher standard in music than you do. Very rarely, if ever. Generally, they will have one step lower music standard than you have. So if you place your standard really high and they go one step lower, they're still good. But if you want to float right on the edge of what's good and they go one step lower, where are they at? In trouble. In trouble. Let's look at some different genres here of the wrong kind of music and why it's wrong. You know, it's important to know the why. When kids are young, it's okay to say, you know, do this because I'm telling you to do it. But as they grow older, you need to explain why you're telling them to do it. You need to explain the philosophy behind the why, not just because I said so. If they don't know the why, they're not going to accept the what when they get older. Okay? There's music. You probably, just a couple of people in here will remember this kind of music. Ragtime. Ragtime originated in African American music in the late 19th century. It descended from the jigs and march music played by African American bands. A distinctly American musical style, ragtime may be considered a synthesis of African syncopation and European classical music, especially the marches made popular by John Philip Sousa. In short, now John Philip Sousa is not ragtime. Just throwing that in there. In short, the music that the tribes of Africa used to worship false gods and idols was brought with them when they were forced into slavery, and they took the music of their ancestors and applied it to classical music out of Europe. and it came up with ragtime. Ragtime music was created in the red light districts of the African-American communities of New Orleans and St. Louis. The red light district, let's go ahead and be quiet. The red light district was a concentrated area of prostitution, houses, and bars. From this music was birthed jazz music. Now, that is where ragtime originated, in the red light district. And that is where it was played. If we were to put this music to the test of the three M's, it would be the music originated in the red light district, put to the words of Amazing Grace, sung by Paul the Apostle. Does it pass the test? No. You can't sing Amazing Grace to ragtime, even though Paul the Apostle were to sing it, and it passed the test because of where that music originated. Why would God want his name associated with music that was related with prostitution? Now, I'm going to step on some toes tonight because some of you probably listen to ragtime. No, you don't even know what it is. But so let me ask you a question, though. Can there be such a thing as Christian ragtime?
No.
No. Next, jazz music. Louis Armstrong, one of the most famous musicians in jazz, made this observation on the history of the music. At one time, he said, they were calling it Levee Camp music. Then in my day, it was ragtime. When I got up north, I commenced to hear about jazz, Chicago style, Dixieland, swing. All refinements of what we played in New Orleans. There ain't nothing new. In 1988 interview, jazz musician J.J. Johnson said, jazz is restless, it won't stay put, and it never will. Jazz started to get a reputation as being immoral, and many members of the older generation saw it as threatening the old values in culture and promoting the new decadent values of the Roaring Twenties. And very few of you in here remember the Roaring Twenties because you weren't alive back then. But jazz music helped the Roaring Twenties become the Roaring Twenties, and they weren't roaring for good reasons. And remember last time we heard, I think it was Plato said, I care not who writes the laws as long as you let me write the music. Well, the older generation in the 1920s was upset with ragtime because it was threatening the culture, and indeed it did. Professor Henry Van Dyke of Princeton University wrote, it is not music at all. It is merely an irritation of the nerves of hearing, a sensual teasing of the strings of physical passion. Even the media began to denigrate jazz. The New York Times took stories and altered headlines to pick at jazz. The music of New Orleans had a profound effect on the creation of early jazz. Many early jazz performers played in venues throughout the city. The brothels and bars of the red light district around Basson Street, called Storyville, was only one of numerous neighborhoods relevant to the early days of New Orleans jazz. In short, jazz music was a further development of ragtime music. It was the next step. Putting jazz to the test then of music, men, and message, would it pass? No. Could there be such a thing as Christian jazz? No. Rhythm and blues. From ragtime to jazz, and then it went to rhythm and blues. In 1948, Jerry Wexler of Billboard magazine coined the term rhythm and blues as a musical term in the United States. It replaced the term race music, which originally came from within the black community, but was deemed offensive in the post-war world. Writer and producer Robert Palmer defined rhythm and blues as a catch-all term referring to any music that was made by and for black Americans. R&B lyrical themes often encapsulated the African-American experience of pain and the quest for freedom and joy. Lyrics focus heavily on the themes of triumphs and failures in terms of relationships, freedom, economics, aspirations, and intimacy. The term rhythm and blues has undergone a number of shifts in meaning. In the early 1950s, it was frequently applied to blues records. This style of music contributed to the development of rock and roll. Contemporary R&B vocalists include Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, Whitney Houston, and Mariah Carey. Now, rhythm and blues highlights fornication and ungodly behavior. That is a staple, a constant theme you will find in that music. Putting rhythm and blues, R&B, to the test, the music Amazing Grace, the message Amazing Grace, sung by Michael Jackson. Does it pass the test? No. Could there be such a thing as Christian R&B? No. If you stop and think about it for a moment, about the different music genres we've just mentioned, you'll recognize that this music, though modern and contemporary, isn't new at all. It is simply the evolution of tribal music, which was used to worship idols and false gods. The same beat, the same ignition of physical passion, and the same worldly outcome. I mean, how many people, after listening to R&B all week, decide that to surrender to preach? You're not going to listen to ragtime music and decide from now on you're going to be a faithful husband. You're not going to listen to jazz music and decide from now on I'm going to read my Bible. No, that's not what it promotes. Rock and roll. First, the very name given to this type of music, rock and roll, was the slang phrase used by the women of the brothels. Rock and roll, often written as rock and roll or rock and roll, is a genre of popular music that originated and evolved in the United States during the late 1940s and early 1950s, primarily from a combination of African-American genres such as blues, jump blues, and jazz. So do you see the kind of transition here? We started back in, I skipped a lesson, but we started really in tribal music. And then we went to Levy Camp. It was the camps called Levy Camps that they were they would camp out in these tent cities, and they were building the levees up down in the south, and that's where they would this kind of music originated. And then it went to ragtime in the red light district. Then it went to jazz, and I know I'm ruining some of your favorite Christmas CDs. And then it went to R&B, and then it went to rock and roll. Same music, it's just grown, it's just transformed. Do you understand? You follow me? From idolatrous tribal music to ragtime to jazz to rhythm and blues to rock and roll, it's the same music modernized and influenced by Satan. Your flesh may love rock and roll, but if you take time to research quotes from rock stars about what they think the message this music sends to people and the negative influence it brings, there is no doubt that the music is satanic. I mean, there's no doubt. Perhaps you have heard of the popular rock concert gathering Woodstock. They're about to have the 50th anniversary. If rock and roll music is godly music and uplifting, then Woodstock would be a place you would want to take your family. I will not go into the decadence and open sensuality that happens at Woodstock, but it is anything but godly. Listen to what these rock stars had to say about rock music, the music they sing. Rock and roll is devastating to the mind. Little Richard said that. Rock and roll has always been the devil's music. David Bowie said that. Living on the brink of disaster at all times is what rock and roll is all about. Kevin Cronin of REO Speedwagon said that. Gene Lees, a music critic, said, "Rock music is the cause of America's problems with its young people. It is destructive, negative, and nihilistic. Rock is going to kill me somehow. It gets everybody in the end," Peter Townsend said from The Who. The editor of Rolling Stones magazine had this to say: "Music has not only become the entertainment, but the religion." Rolling Stones magazine said this: "As a carrier of information, it is unequaled in history." Guitarist Craig Chachico said, "Rock concerts are the church of today. Music puts them on a spiritual plane. All music is God. Jimi Hendrix said, you can hypnotize people with music. And when you get people at their weakest point, you can preach into their subconscious what you want to say. The Beatles' own press officer, the Beatles, some of the original rock music stars, their own press officer, Derek Taylor, said, it's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Here are these four boys from Liverpool. They're rude. They're profane. They're vulgar. And they've taken over the world. It's as if they had founded a new religion. They're completely antichrist. I mean, I am antichrist as well, but they're so antichrist, they shock me, which isn't an easy thing to do. If you think listening to the Beatles is a spiritual thing, you're mistaken. Let's put rock and roll music to the test. Rock music with the message Amazing Grace, sung by Miss Grace Kreiner. Does it pass the test? I'm sorry, Miss Grace. Can there be such a thing as Christian rock?
No.
No. But here's the problem. In our modern time, there have been people who grew up on rock and roll music and have gotten saved, but they did not want to give up their music. So instead of changing their music tastes to please God, they attempted to change God to fit their music tastes.
Yep.
Larry Norman was declared the father of Jesus rock. A newspaper article about one of his concerts, supposed Christian, said this: Aerosmith fans were blown away. Van Halen people had their socks rocked off. Kiss groupies were appalled and shocked. Ted Nugent devotees called it ruder than rude. The rock was rolling and it was hard enough for anybody. The article mentioned that Norman began the concert with a number called Why Should the Devil Have All the Good Music? Just one problem. It ain't good. After hearing this song sung, the writer of the article commented, the devil has got nothing on the Larry Norman band. In other words, this Christian rock was more intense and worse than rock music, the devil's rock music, which it's still the devil's rock music. Time Magazine, March 11th, 1985, page 60, carried an article called New Lyrics for the Devil's Music. The article read, if you had to guess their name, you might think of the devil's disciples or the Beelzebubs or perhaps the killer bees, which is what the four young men on stage look like in their tight leather and spandex costumes, crisscrossed with garnished black and yellow stripes, piles of makeup, spiky hair, and enough dangling chain to tie up half the elephants in Africa, complete the picture of the up-to-date heavy metal rock group. Even the music, the sound of a swarm of angry insects electronically amplified several thousand times, fits the image. But wait, don't walk away without listening to the words of their song. So many bands, this is the words, so many bands give the devil all the glory. It's hard to understand. We want to change the story. We want to rock one way all night long. You'll see the light someday. I'll say, Jesus is the way. How spiritually uplifting. It was a Christian rock band. You cannot use the devil's music to speak for God. Just because you put good words to rock music does not make it right, nor does it make it godly. Rap music. Rap music has the same background as the others mentioned, which is all that is needed to be said. With that in mind, can there be any such thing as Christian rap? No. People try, though. Sadly. Part of the problem in modern-day Christian music and a lot of contemporary Christian music is that many who are saved refuse to lay down the music that has been influenced and developed by Satan. Instead, they try to incorporate it into Christianity. Instead, they try to use Satan's music, Satan's beat, to worship God. And that's exactly what Israel was doing when they came out of Egypt. Look, when you come out of Egypt, when you come out of the world, leave the world's music behind. Israel made the fatal mistake of not leaving the world's music behind. And we'll look at Exodus 32 as we close tonight. This will be a multi-part message on the good, the bad, and the gray. We're just covering most of the bad tonight. Look at Exodus chapter 32. Verse 15. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides, and on one side and on the other side were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." And he said, "It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing, do I hear?" And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. But I want you to look back at verse number 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, "Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him." And Aaron said unto them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me." And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with the graving tool. And he made it a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to who?" They were dancing around a false idol, using Satan's music and his methods to worship who? The Lord. God wasn't none too happy about it either. And look, he's not none too happy with people coming in his church house, dancing around to the devil's music, trying to worship him today either.
That's right.
As angry as that made God back then, it makes him that angry still. Don't use the devil's music to worship God, because you can't. Use godly music to worship God. Use godly music to worship God. You know, there's so much ungodly music claimed as Christian nowadays. Let me just ask you that tonight, if you're upset, if you're like boiling mad at this message, ask yourself the question, are you upset because... Why are you upset? If you're upset at the message tonight, that is an example of how much that music is influencing you and how much power and control it really has over you.
That's right. Come on.
There's a lot of influence, like I was saying, in so-called Christian circles, and they have Christian rock in a lot of contemporary Christian music. And they have these... places you go, there's a bunch of bands. Concerts. Thank you. There's one called the Creation Fest in the Winter Jam. And you look at these artists that are singing there. Many of the men have long hair. And a lot of the women are not dressed modestly. And they're singing rock and roll music with Christian lyrics. And it's ecumenical, which means every single religion is welcome. And they have baptisms there. And I was reading about this. And the Catholic priest will do a baptism for you if you're Catholic. And the Episcopalians and whoever you are, will baptize you there. Catholics and everybody else. Because we're all just going to come together and praise Jesus. There's nothing praising Jesus about it. They're dancing around a calf and don't even realize it. The devil has hoodwinked Christians, modern-day Christians, into thinking that they're worshiping God using Egypt's music, and he is laughing. Don't let it catch you.
Right.
Don't let it keep your heart. Let me just say one thing you need to do going into the lessons on music is keep an open heart and pray this prayer. Holy Spirit of God, if there's anything you speak to me about, I'll change. Let me just say, I'm not trying to convict you up here. I'm just speaking the truth. If you feel convicted tonight, it's not because I'm trying to make you feel convicted. Lord willing, it's the Holy Spirit that's convicted you. So you're not wrestling against me. Okay? The good, the bad, and the gray. We'll get into a little bit more of the bad and then some of the good and gray next week, but let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for music and its power and the message that it can speak to us, Lord, how it can bring tears to our eyes, a smile to our face, a spring to our step, a comfort to our heart. Thank you for music. Give us wisdom, dear Lord, in how we approach music. Help us to understand that it is speaking. We need to be careful what kind of messages we're bringing into our house that will affect us and our children. Help us, Lord, to put music to the test of the three M's, the music, the message, and the men, and help us to walk worthy of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.